Next on BYUSN, did BYU football's pro day make you feel any more pro-BYU for Cougars and their NFL draft dreams?
Plus, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick tells us where the O is halfway through spring football.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It's another Monday, March 27th. I am Spencer Linton. He is newly founded Florida Atlantic basketball fan, Jerem Jordan.
Go Owls. Pretty cool as a 9 seed that they go all the way. And no seeds 1 through 3 even made it, right? We got a, 4, 5, 5, 9, which is awesome. What a fun tournament it's been. So it's going to be fun to, double duty that through General Conference on Saturday.
Historic, because no number one seeds made it into the Elite Eight for the first time ever. We didn't even have a number one seed get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Not one.
And you look at these teams and you're like, how many NIL deals did each of these guys have? What did that, like, what was the makeup? How did that chemistry and talent kind of come together in that way? Can BYU accidentally get into the Sweet 16 without the National Player of the Year? They will someday. I would just like it sooner than later, because I watch a San Diego State, a team that BYU competed with really well, get in, and I think, man, could BYU have done that in the past a little better? Can BYU do that in the future? Certainly BYU will be weathered and experienced in a way they weren't in the Big 12. So hopefully BYU shows up at some point in the Final Four.
Yeah, it was fun watching that game yesterday between Creighton and San Diego State, because BYU played both teams this year, beat Creighton, albeit without their best player, but still beat them.
Yeah, Ryan Kalkbrenner's a beast at 7 foot.
And then played pretty well at San Diego State.
So, and it was like a million years ago. That was in November and December.
It feels
forever
ago.
Yes. Okay, on today's show, we recap Pro Day. Who helped themselves out the most? A Big 3 might have turned into a Big 5. We'll tell you about it. Aaron Roderick goes one-on-one with Spencer. No Big 12 teams make the Final Four. How concerned are we? And a rivalry win against Utah that was fantastic over the weekend. Here are today's headlines.
BYU football held a closed scrimmage on Saturday in the IPF due to snow at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Tis the season, apparently.
Hopefully not Friday.
Following that scrimmage, head coach Kalani Sitake singling out his defense.
And I think today was a really good step forward for the defense. This week, all together, I thought was really nice for the defense. And, Jay's doing a great job with them. And I'm just seeing a lot of really nice disruption from defense, and I think it's going to really be nice compliment to what our offense is doing as well. Now,
the Cougars will scrimmage again this Friday, and you can watch it live on BYU TV.
That's neato. Number 8 men's volleyball beats number 7 Pepperdine in 5 sets, both Friday and Saturday. Combined margin of 6 in those 5th sets. Rominus led the Cougars with 34 kills. In 10 sets, 17 digs, 3 aces. Cougars 10-0 at home. Heath Hughes came back as starter. 10-2 with Heath as the starter, by the way. Cougars host USC Thursday and Friday.
Remember how we were asking, how does BYU move up in the polls? I'd beat Pepperdine.
That helps. You got to win to move up, typically.
BYU baseball held a throw-together doubleheader against St. Mary's that was postponed to Saturday. They got all 3 games in the series in. Game 1 on Saturday was a 6-4 loss for BYU, but a bounce back in Game 2, 4-3 win to avoid the series sweep by the Gales. The Bat-Cats back to work tomorrow at UVU at 8 Eastern.
Sierra Tidwell Alphen won the high jump with a personal best of 185 meters at the Aztec Invitational, tops nationally so far in the outdoor season. And Caleb Wiskin took second with a pole vault of 545 meters, putting him second nationally.
BYU softball, with the record of 14-7 this season, play at Utah Tech today at 6 p.m. Eastern. After having 3 games canceled last week due to rain and snow in Provo. By the way, BYU 4-0 all time against the Trailblazers.
One day, BYU softball will play another home game. 75th-ranked women's tennis beat Portlandia 7-0 Saturday, and the men lost 4-0 to Portland.
How about Cougars in pro hoops? Yoeli Childs with 21 points, 8 rebounds in Germany in an 84-70 Hamburg Towers win against the Fraport Skyliners.
That's always a tough game.
Oh, yeah.
The NWSL's season's underway. Ashley Hatch got a yellow card for the Washington Spirit.
Yes, Ashley.
Win to the OL Reign. Cam Tucker subbed in for the Houston Dash in a draw with Louisville FC. Not to be confused with Louisville. And Michaela Clough played 67 minutes for the Orlando Pride, also getting a yellow. That's the theme of the week. In a 4-0 loss to the Portland Thorns FC.
Love that competitive spirit. Let's not leave out Major League Rugby, and specifically former BYU rugby star and BYU football player Paul Asike, who scored a try for the Utah Warriors in a 47-19 win against the Toronto Arrows on Saturday. That game was a lot closer than the final score indicated.
19-18 late, and Paul and the Warriors poured it on.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. A pro day recap. And as the words in the song say, yeah, let's make some history and
more
see
like
what
money,
BYU
yeah.
can do in the NFL draft in 2023. Jerem, we had 2 hours of coverage on Friday. Fun to be there in the atmosphere and the environment to see all 32 teams represented, which was fantastic. Only team in the state to have that at their pro day. Not even the Pac-12 champions had all 32 teams.
They had 31, so close.
Yeah.
Very close.
Wins are wins, right?
Yes, they are. And no play on every little morsel.
How did BYU's pro day change your expectations for BYU players that have their NFL draft dreams in play later in April?
Okay, we went in thinking, okay, Jaren Hall, Puka Nacua, Blake Freeland, those are the top three. Still the top three, of course. And we were interested in seeing what those guys would each individually do. Blake Freeland did not bench in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, so he did on Friday, and he got 25. That was enough. That would have been tied for 16th. Not a huge number, but he is so good in everything else, he certainly makes up for it, and we think he's going to be like a third-round guy, maybe late second round. He also went into the 20-yard shuttle and shaved off nearly 3/10.
Oh, the quick feet.
4.42. Incredible stuff. That would have been first in Indianapolis. Basically, he was the most athletic offensive lineman. The endurance strength of the bench is a different sort of skill set there. But Blake rose up charts. I'm not sure Jaren and Puka fell. I'm not sure they even climbed based on Friday. Did it hurt themselves? Perhaps they helped themselves a little bit. We saw Jaren perform and Puka perform. They did not do anything but throw and catch respectively in Indianapolis. So that was good. Jaren Hall ran a 4.62 40.
Plenty fast.
Plenty fast for a quarterback. I kind of thought, given his history and athleticism, that he might crack 4.59 or something. But yeah, that's a good number. 20-yard shuttle was 6.97. That would have been third in Indy. Great throwing session. We'll talk about that in a second. Puka, his numbers were good. They weren't stellar, but they weren't bad.
Yeah.
You know, he's ranking 10 to 20 in kind of the wide receivers in Indy numbers. But his football speed, I think, is fast. Like, he's 4.55, which is plenty good. He's not a 4.4 guy. I thought he might be that guy. Maybe when he's 100% fully healthy and not coming off of what was, by the way, a concussion at the Senior Bowl. He got hit in practice a little hard by somebody. I won't say which opponent, but it was an opponent that BYU played and that, you know, Puka made plays against. So that's fun. But he's doing better, which is good. We saw him catch well with Jaren Hall there. So those big three, certainly it was like, okay, these guys are NFL draft picks. Let's go. The next guy, obviously, and we talked about it Friday, Caleb Hayes.
MVP.
He won the Jonah Trinneman Pro Day MVP Award. Okay, 17 on the bench. That would have been tied second among corners in Indy. Again, among corners in Indy are the comps. 40-inch vert would have been sixth. 4.3 140. Wow. That would have been third overall at the combine. Overall.
Blazing.
Woo! 6.883 cone tied for second. 4.17 20-yard shuttle tied for second. Caleb was clearly hurt a little bit last year. Okay, it wasn't his full self because in 2021, he was one of the best corners in the country. He might get drafted. Chris Wilcox was not on our radar 3 years ago to get drafted.
Chris was in the house,
and,
by the way.
Yes, he was. I talked to him for a minute. He's with the Steelers.
Yep, just signed with the Steelers. Yeah.
Is Caleb Hayes may sneak into the draft because those numbers are so good. If he's not drafted, all good. He goes free agent to somebody. And then Chris Brooks was the other one. He's trimmed down to 219 pounds. 21 on the bench would be tied second among running backs in Indy. 37-inch vertical, top five. broad jump, tied for seventh. 4.58 40. That was the goal for him in my mind, was 4.5 something. Three cone would have been second, 20-yard shuttle would have been first. So Chris Brooks looked jacked.
Yes, he did.
And he looked great. So I think those five guys are BYU's top five prospects. I'd probably go Freeland, Puka slash Jaron, Caleb, then Chris Brooks.
Yeah, I'm more confident that Jaron is going to be the second player drafted behind Blake Freeland now because of what he did at Pro Day. And just a couple of notes of what you brought up, the 20-yard shuttle for Blake Freeland. Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl, he sent out a video that they took from Mobile when Blake was doing his quick feet drills and said, this is exactly what we expected. So that number, yeah, it helps. Is it enough to solidify Blake in the late second round? Probably not.
Someone's like, I saw the 20-yard shuttle, and my mind was convinced.
But he should feel really good about going by the third round for sure.
Yes.
And Puka Nacua, even though his numbers in the 40 were not like eye-popping, he's a dude that has game speed, just like Tyler Algier when he ran his 4.6. But Tyler's faster in games. In fact, Jaron's faster in games.
I see
running away from Baylor's defensive backs in Waco.
And Utah 21 for a play that came back because he stepped out. You know, but like in that play, it's like, oh, Jaron is 4.5 guy.
Yes.
He was 4.6 guy here. Again, still, that ankle is against Stanford hurt him more than we thought. And then perhaps he re-injured it in Mobile at the Senior Bowl.
Puka, let's reference the first play from scrimmage of the season, when he's running 75 yards down the sideline for a touchdown against USF. Those guys have game speed. So we see a bunch of dudes in those skill positions that are right around 4.55 to 4.62. Whatever. Show me the tape. Do you have game speed? If you've got it, great. I'm going to put my stock into that. So I don't think that the speed hurt or helped Jaron and Puka specifically. But Jaron Hall is number two in my BYU draft power rankings because of a conversation I had with someone in the Hall camp, specifically referencing his agent, Ryan Tolner. Now, Ryan Tolner in 2016
related to Ted, question mark?
No idea. Mm. Okay. That's a great question.
How many Tolners do we know?
That's a great question. But in 2016, he was in Sports Business Journal's 40 Under 40 as one of the most successful NFL agents.
Sorry you're not available for that anymore.
Bursting onto the scene. He's Ben Roethlisberger's agent from the time Ben was, you know, drafted in 2004. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think he was Ben Roethlisberger's agent when he was like 25. Like, that's crazy, right?
Did he go to Miami of Ohio? What's the connection?
I have no idea.
Nice.
But Tolner, to his credit, has put together more $100 million deals over the last 5 years than any other agent in pro football.
With inflation, that's easy now.
Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Marcus Mariota, of course, Ben Roethlisberger. Now he's signed Jaron Hall, and the source inside the Hall camp said, I just got done talking to Ryan Tolner, and he said, look, I've signed a lot of big deals. I've done a ton of these. I mean, just countless pro days. So many that it makes me want to...
Show me the money.
Right? He said, I have never, and he's like, I'm not using hyperbole, never seen a pro day throwing session like Jaron Hall just put on. The ball was zinging out there. I mean, it sounded crisp. Mm-hmm. It looked crisp.
It looked good to
me. Everything was accurate.
Yeah.
And it was better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought Jaron would be pretty good. It was awesome. And his last throw to Puka Nacua, just this deep dime, and credit to Puka for catching the ball and using his speed to go and get it, but it was a beautiful pass. Not Zach Wilson pro day folklore, but it was unbelievable.
It didn't go viral like Zach's.
Everything sounded and looked so crisp and clean and fresh, and he looked more healthy. He looked good. And Ryan Tolner left and said, and I quote, we're in a very good place. So I'm going to buy into that, Jaron, that Jaron solidified at worst a fifth-round draft pick. He may have slid into the fourth round now. Like, I think his throwing session was that good, and people wanted to see that he's healthy and that he's okay. You've seen everything you need to see. Now he can wait. But I think he may have pushed himself into a fourth-round draft grade, and Puka Nacua will be the third player drafted.
It's fun seeing perhaps the most influential person in the world outside of the actual coaching staff and staff there leading that in John Beck.
Oh, wow.
John Beck has done more for BYU football and quarterbacks, save, you know, fill in the blank, whatever comp you want to make, leading that. And it was great. It was a great day for BYU football. And this will be a Big 12 day next year.
Yeah.
It was the last one in Provo. BYU does a tremendous job with it. And it was awesome. It was awesome. It was fun to talk to the NFL guys on the show. And congrats to all the BYU guys who hopefully get a shot. The Peyton Wilgars and Gunnar Romneys of the world hopefully get a shot as well.
Caleb Hayes is the dude that maybe he takes the Chris Wilcox format and just sneaks in very early in the seventh round.
You know, he's only had one dude drafted out of the cornerbacks since Derwin Gray.
Chris Wilcox.
Perhaps Caleb Hayes becomes number two. Dewey sent a tweet out as much. He said he's getting drafted.
Chris Brooks feels like a for sure undrafted free agent guy. I don't know about anybody else that competed.
Yeah. I think those top five really stick out as like, okay, they're gonna make at least practice squads. Let's hope BYU has a few more too.
I hope Harris LeChance and others. Yeah, so. I hope Harris LeChance and Peyton Wilgar get a shot.
Sure.
Just maybe. We'll say, I hope Gunnar Romney gets a mini camp invite. Houston Hamley, they're a bunch of guys. But
yep, Houston had a great day too. Houston had a nice day. Sub five on the 40 and then 31 reps on the bench.
That's
31!
That's woo! Strength.
You and I are like, can we get one up? Jeez.
Our question of the day. How did BYU's Pro Day alter your expectations for Cougars in the 2023 NFL Draft? I love this tweet coming in from longtime watcher and listener, friend of the program at CL_living. He says, it took me exactly 4.31 seconds to be impressed.
Nice.
Referencing Caleb Hayes, blistering 40.
Yeah, it was great.
Whew. Continue to weigh in, hashtag BYUS on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, it's game week for BYU TV's scrimmage broadcast, the Alumni Day, which starts with a two-hour special coming up on Friday at noon Eastern time. We're going to make time for guys like John Beck, Austin Colley, and rumor has it, Dennis Pitta as well. It's coming up Friday at noon Eastern, two-hour edish with a bunch of awesome alums.
Up next, one-on-one with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick and his thoughts following Saturday's scrimmage. And what did Zach Wilson say about Keaton Slovis? This is BYU Sports.
Good teeth.
That thing is ours.
Whoa!
No one else can know about it until we figure out what it is. Agreed? Agreed.
We're supposed to look out for each other.
All this time, I've been searching for us.
It chose you for a reason.
We're in this together.
You're the best friends I've ever had.
Sports Nation live in Studio B, along with Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. Following Saturday's BYU football scrimmage, I had a chance to speak with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. He discussed his overall views and takes from the scrimmage and gave us a little insight into Zach Wilson assessing Keaton Slovis. Here's that conversation.
Aaron, how was the weather and atmosphere inside the indoor practice facility with all of the spring snow outside?
It was a lot better than the weather outside, yeah. this is wild. It feels like January out here.
But yeah, really. Yeah, it really does. Does it affect the team at all when you're dealing with this? Like when you have to move things in the indoor practice facility, does it affect it? Does it slow the progression that you're looking for?
It's not too bad. It's just, we don't like to tackle too much inside there. So we'd rather tackle on grass if we can. So we were going to do some tackling, you know, a tackle type of scrimmage today. And we decided to hold off on that till next week. But other than that, we get all the same work done. You know, it's not a big deal.
What was the highlight of your scrimmage today?
There were some highlights both ways. I thought we did a good job in the red zone today, especially with our first team offense. And I'm really pleased so far in camp with just our improvement in goal line, short yardage, and red zone. Doing a good job with that stuff. And red zone's always been a strength of ours, but I thought we took a step backwards last year in that. And then, the goal line short yardage stuff is well documented. We didn't do a good enough job last year. And I feel like we've done a lot of things to correct that. But our defense got after us in the 2-minute drill. And we need work at 2 minute. We haven't done as well as we should in that. So, they're doing a good job. Our defense is bringing a lot of pressure and doing a nice job.
Let's dive into some of the specifics of the red zone in the scenarios that you said went well today. What types of things are you looking for, and what are you seeing from a game standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, that you're liking?
Well, we're looking to get a touchdown. We want to get touchdowns in the red zone. We don't want to kick field goals. And when you get down there, you got to get a touchdown. That's always been our mentality. And we should get touchdowns. Like today, the drill was, from the we got two series from the 14-yard line and two series from the 6-yard line. So you should score touchdowns in those situations. That drill is definitely to our advantage, and then some other drills are more to the defense's advantage. We did one drill today where we're backed up on our own 1-yard line and got to get it out of there. And, that's a hard drill for the offense. The red zone should be an easier one. And I thought we did a good job today down there. The second team offense though, turned it over once, and the first team offense scored both times. You just all situational work. We're just trying to get better.
Okay. Now let's talk about the concern that you brought up. At this point, I mean, it's early, it's March. What are you doing to, overcome those concerns and shore the things up that you want to work on after today's scrimmage?
Just keep practicing. We have a lot of good players out there, guys that are going to be very good players for us that are experiencing things for the first time, so every day there's a new mistake. That's like this, that's the first time this guy has seen that situation. And so you just try to correct it and keep going. And I think, we have some young offensive linemen that are really talented. I'm very confident they're going to be good players for us in the fall that are learning. We have some new quarterbacks that each day are learning. We're pretty thin at wide receiver right now. We don't have very many guys that have actually played in games for us that are practicing. Because Cody Epps is out. And so really just leaves Chase and Keanu are the only two receivers right now that have actually, been regular guys in a game for us. And so, but no panic at all. We're doing a lot of good things as well. And it's practice. What was today? 7 or 8 of or spring ball, 8, I think. You just got to keep working. You get 15 in the spring, you get 29 in the fall, and we'll be ready for our first game.
Let's stay with the wide receivers. When do you expect Cody to be back and ready to go?
He won't practice in spring ball. I don't even know exactly. He's close right now. He's practicing. He's doing a lot of things. He's just not doing anything against the defense. Like, he's in drills with us. He's running routes. He's in every meeting. He's involved. He's wearing the same gear that everybody else is wearing. He's out there with the shoulder pads and helmet. He's practicing. He's just not playing in the 11-on-11 stuff. And he'll be full go in the fall for sure.
Well, you mentioned you mentioned the big three: Chase Roberts, Keanu Hill, Cody Epps. Those are guys that have taken meaningful snaps and made big plays for your team. Who else is going to join them? Who are you seeing things from right now that makes you feel like your wide receiver core is going to be ready to go, not just with those three?
Well, the one unfortunate one was Parker Kingston was playing really well and had a hand injury of thumb. I think it's a curvaceous thumb or wrist, something like that. It's not anything serious long-term, but it's enough that it's keeping him out of practice right now, out of the contact stuff. So he's in the same mode as Cody. He's out there doing everything he can, catching the ball with one hand, but we have to keep him out of the contact drills against the defense. So that's going to slow his development a little bit, but he was playing really well, and I'm counting on him being one of our guys in the fall. He can run. There's some other guys. Dom Henry's starting to show up, and then, it's no secret we're gonna bring in a couple guys in the fall.
Mm. Aaron Roderick, the offensive coordinator for BYU, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Now let's move to the offensive line. You talked about the young guys that are experiencing situations for the first time, and they're learning, and it's frustrating, but they're learning. And they do join a core of some guys that have been around, though, notably Kingsley Suamate and Connor Pay. So at this point, how does the offensive line for this upcoming season stack up to what you had last season?
Well, I think we're more athletic than we've ever been. And I think we're, you know, we have some depth, you know, and the development part of O-line is just, it's working as a unit. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, each one of those guys is talented, but it takes reps, it takes time to develop the continuity to work as a unit, because there's so much to it. It's the most complicated position in football, to get those five guys all in sync. And so it just takes reps. That's it. And I'm really confident in the group we have. But each day, you know, they're experiencing new things, and Jay's bringing a bunch of different pressures, and it's really good work for us. We're getting a lot of different fronts and different looks, and just learning how to block all those things, how to communicate as a unit, takes time. And we've had some really good plays. It's good days. And we've had some days where, you know, you got to learn from it and improve the next day, but a lot of confidence in those guys.
How would you assess the progression and play of Keaton Slovis over the past 2.5 months that you've been working closely with him?
Yeah, he looks like he's been here 3 years. He's a veteran player. He does veteran things every day. He still makes a mistake or two each day that's sort of like first time in this offense. You know, sometimes it's related to terminology. Sometimes it's just, you know, small things that he's experiencing for the first time with our system. But as far as just like how he plays in the team situations, he's very composed. He's accurate. He's smart about when to check the ball down and when to be aggressive. He plays like a veteran player, and it's just going to take time to develop the chemistry with our receivers and tight ends and with our offensive line, you know, protection checks. That's another thing, is the quarterback can help the O-line a lot with making the right calls sometimes, and or getting us into the right run play, getting us out of a bad play into a good play. The quarterback can do a lot of those things. So there's a lot there too that helps the offensive line.
You mentioned that the defense is certainly bringing the heat and bringing the pressure and challenging what your offense is trying to do. How is the defense different now than they were at this time last year?
It's just a different scheme. I mean, it's more of a, it's a, you know, they're more of a four down defense. They present a lot of different fronts, and they multiple coverages and different pressures. But just, I would just say overall right now, the biggest difference is just more aggressive, more aggression. Without, I don't think Jay wants to like really be saying everything he's doing publicly, but there definitely is a lot more pressure than what we've gone against in practice in the past.
Sure. I've heard him joke about, you know, hey, don't worry guys. Like, this is going to be good for looking at the offense saying, I know you're frustrated. This is going to be good for you at some point. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, there should be give and take in practice. I mean, if one side is always dominating the other side, that's usually not a good thing. You know, there should be days where you leave the practice feeling good, like you won. And it's good for you too, to leave the field some days going, man, we just got our butt kicked today and we got things to work on. And you want that to go back and forth throughout spring ball and fall camp. And then, you know, that's how you build a good team going into the fall.
What does this team do best overall at this point? And you may have already partially answered it with your red zone, you know, alluding to what you did in practice today, but what's overall the best thing this team does right now?
Offensively, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're a team that can throw the ball down the field. I believe that our quarterback can do that. And we've had a couple other quarterbacks that are playing well, and we've got Chase and Keanu and Isaac Rex, and we're getting the ball. You know, we'll be a team that can throw the ball down the field. I'm certain of that. And, you know, we just have to keep building our whole system where we have balance. You know, and balance doesn't necessarily mean just run and pass. It's balance in everything. It's balance in being able to run the ball, throw the ball down the field, you know, having use the whole field basically is what we're trying to accomplish, and use all of our playmakers. And so that's, you know, we're not there yet, but we're working there.
From an offensive standpoint, over the remainder of spring ball, what are you emphasizing and working on the most?
It just depends on the day. We have, you know, we take, you get 15 practices, and we map out, we're making sure we cover every situation that you can come up with in a game. So we're going to hit the 2-minute drill a number of times. We'll hit 4-minute offense a number of times where we have the lead and the defense is trying to get the ball back and we're trying to run the clock out. You know, we work backed up on our own 1-yard line. You work the red zone. Then you want to have enough third down work where you, you know, it's just third down and a variety of distances, excuse me. And you convert the third down and congratulations, it's third down again. And you do it again. And you know, we try to just work every game like situation you can and put the players to the test and see how they react to those things. It's also a chance to test our schemes. You know, spring ball is a great time to try some new things, throw some new wrinkles out there. You know, we don't ever wholesale change to our offense, but if you just stay exactly the same every year, the good teams will catch up to you. So you always want to sort of keep your identity, but maybe add a couple of wrinkles here and there that give you an advantage. So that situational work is a great time to try those things.
You've been working your voice, and probably because the music's blaring inside the indoor practice facility. So are you ready to get back outside, even though it's a little colder?
Yeah, I don't have to yell quite as loud outside. That the music is deafening inside.
All right, let's finish with this. If you could pinpoint one play that kind of made you go, whoa, that was a really good play by said player today in the scrimmage, what's the best individual play you saw made in the scrimmage?
In today's scrimmage?
Yeah.
Or today's practice? There wasn't, I can't really think of one individual play that stood out today, but we did have one in the red zone a few days ago. Keaton Slovis made a throw to Dom Henry on, it was third and goal from the 10 or 11 yard line, obvious pass situation. And he threaded a throw over the linebackers and dropped it in the back line to Dom Henry. Dom Henry made a nice play on the ball, but it was an impressive throw. And Zach Wilson was at practice actually. And right after practice, he mentioned it to me. He's like, that it was a nice play. And that's one play that's kind of stood out so far. Yeah.
I love it. You're very composed, Darren. And I super appreciate that about you. Like you never get too high or too low, but in those moments, do you ever get juice like Jack the Mooney and want to like chest bump somebody?
I don't. I try to be like this all the time, good or bad. You know, when I really seriously think that's important.
Yeah.
Some coaches are more emotional and up and down, and that's great. My personality is more just this, and I try to stay consistent for our players that win or lose, they know that I'm going to be the same all the time. And I think that, you know, that works for me. And
yeah.
I'm not saying everybody else has to do it that way, but that's my style.
I respect it. You've chosen your lane and you're sticking to it. And I like that. Aaron, we appreciate the lengthy conversation today. Know you're busy. Rest your voice. Get some hot chocolate. Stay warm, and we'll see you next week.
Nice talking to you.
BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick never shies away from giving us a lot of information to digest.
He's great. Get this man some water, first off. Okay, one of the notes I want to focus on, red zone. So last year, BYU was 101st, scoring 79% of the time in the red zone. There were 9 empty trips, 35-44. TD percentage, though, is the one that I look at the most. 59% was 83rd, 26 out of 44.
That's why they're focusing on that.
That's tough. That's tough, right? BYU did not run the ball effectively in the red zone. It probably cost BYU the Notre Dame and ECU games. Otherwise, you're a 10-win team.
I hate that so much.
Yeah. Eight was fine, but we were expecting 9 points. So that was tough. If you're better in the red zone, you win some games. Let's go.
Yep.
Okay, you can watch Mr. Red Zone, Keaton Slovis and the Cougars Friday as they hold a spring scrimmage live on BYU TV at 5 Eastern time. Of what we know, this is the first time this has been on TV. We cannot wait.
Still on the way is the BYU Creamery, BYU football, and BYU sports overall, their most important asset. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Sorry, what?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. To interact with the show and get some content throughout the day, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.
He is Jeremiah Spencer. You know what time it is. Let's whip it. The Cougar Whip Around presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Final Four is set in men's hoops. 5-seed San Diego State facing 9-seed Florida Atlantic and 4-seed UConn facing 5-seed Miami of Florida. Do you like that no number one seeds made the Final Four?
No. I like at least one big-time blue blood program in the Final Four so that other teams that aren't supposed to win can now try and knock off that team in the Final Four. As much as we love Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, like it's cool, but the biggest ratings come from teams like Kentucky and Duke. It just is what it is.
Like, you care about their ratings?
I'm excited, but no, I'm more interested. I like to watch a dominant force in the Final Four take on a team like Florida Atlantic. Like the George Mason run, you know, 15 years ago or whatever it was, that was fun because they still got to take on, you know, a dominant force at some point.
Lost.
No, but yeah. Hey, like I just want one there.
I'm fine with it. And just because you're a one doesn't mean you're a blue blood. Like, Houston wasn't right, but it was in Houston. They blew it.
They
could have played in their hometown. That would have been awesome.
I was kind of hoping Texas would get in there.
I'm fine with it because now in the new Big 12, we are, you know, hey, Texas to the SEC. See you later. We're in that camp with the other 12. Now.
I just see San Diego State and Florida Atlantic in one Final Four matchup. UConn and Miami is fun, but like...
Isn't this the American dream, though? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah. But it's just, for me...
It doesn't give you hope that BYU could be that team.
A little
bit. As opposed to like, yep, got blown out by the one seed in the second round as an 8-9. You know what I mean?
A little bit. It's also discouraging to see San Diego State get to a Final Four before BYU.
That's another subject.
0 Big 12 men's basketball teams made the Final Four, Jerem. I mentioned, I was hoping Texas would get there.
Sure. Anybody but Texas, I guess, but in Oklahoma.
Was the conference not as good as we thought this past season?
No, they were fantastic. As you can see by who made the Final Four, sometimes it is you forget it's a single game elimination tournament.
Yep.
The Big 12 was the best league all year.
They had two in the Elite Eight.
Could they have showed better in the NCAA tournament? Sure. It doesn't mean they weren't the best basketball.
No, they had two in the Elite Eight, which is awesome.
Does this mean the Mountain West was one of the best leagues just because San Diego State got in? No. Come on now.
Conference up, USA?
CUSA, man. I don't even know what league FAU plays in.
Are they in Conference USA?
Is it Sun Belt? I don't know. San Diego State. Conference USA?
Yes.
Thank you. San Diego State's in the Final Four. Is it a no-brainer for the Pac-12 to add the Aztecs after that, or should the Big 12 go for the steal?
If I'm the Pac-12, I am like, San Diego State, please join our conference. We need you.
Please, like they'd have to beg them? They'd go willingly.
The Big 12 doesn't need San Diego State. It'd be fun to have them and open up that Pacific time zone along with Gonzaga.
If we found out that BYU, the Big 12 invited Gonzaga and San Diego State, I'd be fine with that.
Sure.
I'd be fine with that.
I just feel like the Pac-12 is in more of desperation mode.
Clearly.
They need San Diego State.
What do you mean? They're going to be on ION television. They're going to be just fine.
GSTV.
With Criminal Minds Season 5.
Gas station television.
Can you imagine? You're like, dude, Oregon State versus Wazoo. I only have 3 minutes while they're filling
up at the local Maverick or Chevron watching Oregon State take on Cal.
We did highlight like the worst matchup possible.
No, I can't imagine it.
Yeah,
and no, we joke. No. Their deal's going to be better
than
that.
I know. It'll be Apple Plus with Ted Lasso.
And they might get a ton of money.
Severance.
But where are you seen matters a lot, too.
At the gas station.
All right. The Pac-12 needs San Diego State. They really do. BYU volleyball. Man, yeah. Some exciting matches.
Heard of them.
A couple of five-setters against Pepperdine. One
Three
of them both.
Saturday. Jeez.
How far will BYU volleyball jump after beating seventh-ranked Pepperdine twice and Grand Canyon lost two?
To Concordia. That was an upset. At least one spot, up to seven. I'm not sure that BYU should be higher than that. UC Irvine, to me, is still number six. I'm going to vote BYU in the media poll at seven. I think one spot. Replace Pepperdine.
Yeah, probably number seven.
Yeah.
I think they've already surpassed what I thought would be their pinnacle, Jerem. I thought that eight was as high as they were going to go this
season. You're 10-0 at home, Spence.
Wild.
You have four left at home. BYU can control its own destiny to get as high as the two seed in the MPSF.
That's awesome.
They're tied for third right now and with the tiebreaker over Pepperdine. GCU and UCLA play this weekend. Go Bruins. And if GCU loses a couple, BYU's got a shot.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
They're building something special.
Yes, they are. Heath Hughes was back. That was a big deal. Former Cougar hoopster Logan Magnuson was watching March Madness on his phone at a Taylor Swift concert in Vegas, specifically rooting for the Zags. Are his priorities straight?
I appreciate that Logan is a conference guy. You know, he and his brothers and
the
dad.
The conference guy.
They always go watch the postseason tournaments, a family tradition. We see him in Las Vegas. We talked to him this past year.
They like fly in and everything.
So I understand why he put hashtag go Zags. You know, it stings a little bit because it's the Zags. They've dominated BYU.
We were shocked.
But I do appreciate that he went to the effort of watching the Zags while at a Taylor Swift concert. The multitasking there, respect, Logan.
It wasn't multitasking. The concert had not begun. He is totally within his priority rights to watch, concert begins, pause, watch concert, resume.
I was going to say,
this is easy.
Like if Taylor Swift comes up, you probably paid an exorbitant amount of money
to watch
Taylor
Swift.
You watch.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, YouTube TV.
You're all in on T-Swift.
I watched the entirety of both games yesterday after church. It's all good. You can do both.
DVR is incredible.
I will also do this with General Conference in the Final Four. I'm not telling you which one is live. But 2X, you can listen to those talks at a faster speed, I'll tell you that.
You don't detract from Taylor Swift when you pay $300 for a ticket, probably.
Yeah, get away. Come on.
Sione Puha, defensive line coach for BYU, was asked by KSL's Mitch Harper what his favorite part about coaching at BYU was. Here's that exchange.
Favorite thing so far about working at BYU?
Oh, the creamery. Yeah, right. I love the creamery.
No question. Like he
zero
was
hesitation.
Loaded with
zero
that
hesitation.
Answer.
So our question is the creamery an underused recruiting option for BYU, both for players and coaches?
Now, you teased is like the number one asset. No! That's not the number one asset. But is it underused? I don't know that 18-year-olds care about ice cream like Sione Puha and you and I do. But if I can get some mint chocolate chip from the creamery on 9th East or the cone.
Mint chocolate chip.
No one calls it that. But when I worked at BYU Laundry as a freshman, they were like, yeah, you go down to the cone. I was like, what? The creamery on 9th East? I think we need to regularize that.
Okay, fine. Let's just do it.
Oh, going to the cone for some ice cream?
It might not be an underused recruiting option for athletes, but based on what Sione Puha did.
Parents, maybe?
Parents and coaches. Like, hey, come coach at BYU. Listen to what Sione Puha.
Come coach at BYU.
See what Sione Puha said.
You know what? We got Jay Hill. We showed him the creamery.
And a big fat paycheck to pay for lots of creamery.
And $1 million, maybe. BYU men's volleyball looks to continue its undefeated 10-0 home record against USC Thursday and Friday, both at 9 Eastern on BYU TV and the app.
They should win both.
I think so. USC's lost 9 of 11.
All right, let's hear from you. How did BYU football's pro day performances alter your expectations for Cougar hopefuls in the NFL draft? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B. Happy Monday, everyone. Our question of the day, how did BYU football's pro day alter your expectations for Cougars and their hopes in the approaching 2023 NFL draft? They're going to get more than three drafted?
Would you take three right now?
Yeah, for sure.
Or would you hold out for four?
Well, of course I want to hold out, but like,
but which one?
Yeah, I'd hold out for four.
Now, okay. Because I would take three right now.
Because of what Caleb Hayes did, it's like, I'm going to hold out and see if we can get four.
Caleb might be the fourth guy. Yeah. Pretty awesome pro day to get in position. I don't think Chris Brooks gets drafted, but he will be, as Cam Miller said, a priority free agent, which would be great.
The one thing that hurts Caleb is he's quote-unquote undersized. He's
5'11".
Not super tall, but are we worried about 5'11 in the NFL as a defensive back?
Maybe. I don't know how the scouts and GMs think, but I mean, certainly at 6'1", they're more enticed. He's not, well, for the NFL, maybe a little bit, but 40-inch vert.
It's not like he's 5'9".
Right. He ain't Brian Logan at 5'7", walking through the door. If Brian had been 6 foot, he would have been a massive NFL prospect coming out of BYU.
Because his cover skills were great.
Yes. Tackling, super good tackling.
Ball skills.
Like,
yes.
So you have to, in certain aspects, and it's like the genetic Olympics as well, where it's like, well, what's your height, weight? You can become strong, but you need a certain amount of strength that's already sort of pre-existing, and then you add to that. You have to, in Blake Freeland's case, your dad is awesome at BYU, and you were well-coached, and you worked super hard, and you developed into this monster. A lot of that is credited to Blake. You also have to be 6'8". You know what I mean? Like, that helps with Blake, and, yeah, you go from there. And in Jaren Hall's case, mom's what? A gymnast at BYU, and dad's on the football team. You won the genetic Olympics. You are fast. You are quick. You are motivated by the family. That helps, too. So, yeah, there's a certain amount that, like, you don't control. But the controllable that we saw from those guys on Friday, the work that they put in, the athleticism that they have, they added to the genetics that they inherited, which is awesome. I did not. I got a 6'180" frame with no speed. So your boy ain't a receiver. You know what I mean? Your boy's a broadcaster. So congrats to those guys. But it'll be fun to see, yeah, who gets drafted, who gets picked up. The hope is you get at least 3 in the draft. And I would say at least, you know, it'd be nice to get 3 free agents at least. If Caleb isn't drafted, he and Chris Brooks and somebody else.
He's going to be a priority free agent.
Yeah, for
Caleb
sure.
Caleb will, for sure.
It's just, is there a third free agent? Is it Harris LeChance, Peyton Wilgar, Gunnar Romney? Those 3 feel like the most likely.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that Houston Ahimulie's targeting just
Houston's right there, too.
You know, at least a mini camp invite.
Yes. Get into a mini camp, and you have a chance to show what you're made of. Which, by the way, it was great to see who was out at Pro Day. We're showing pictures here. Oh, just hanging out with Neil Powell and Tyler Allgeier. Hung out with Tyler later. Shout out Alder. And then you have Prez and, VP Vorking and new Prez, Shane Reese, the guys in the crisp white and black hanging out in the locker room with the fresh outfit from Josh Hewitt and the gang, Lopina Katoa and Alden Toth and Zach Wilson. So, yeah, it's a cool hangout on Pro Day as well. The guys come back, and we talked to Tyler Allgeier and Sione Takitaki and Harvey Long. It was great to see you.
Those are great interviews. That was a fun 2-hour show.
Yep.
All right, some responses now. Caleb.J.McKay on Instagram answers how his expectations for Cougars in the 2023 NFL draft have been altered. He said, I don't think the Big 3 did anything to change their draft stock that much. I chronicled why I feel like Jaren Hall's going to move up a round. If you missed that, go back and listen to it. Jaren, you feel
up a full round.
Yeah.
Or like 20 spots.
Like, I think he'd go late fourth round. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Caleb continues, but I would not be surprised if Caleb Hayes found a team that will take him late day 3.
Yeah, late day 3 is what he'd get if he gets
7th round guy.
It feels like.
Yep. Okay. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from the Croxall, also on Instagram. Simply 4.3.
Yeah, so fast.
With 7 exclamation points after it.
And you never know how fast the dude is. Like during the season, if you had said, is Caleb Hayes a 4.3 guy? I would have been like, no. Like
40-inch vertical dude?
But like, dude's trained hard. He's been fast. He was a little injured last year.
Yeah.
Is what we're told.
He worked through a bunch of injuries.
The same way he was in 2020.
He's got enough film. He was so good in 2020. He's got enough film combined to that pro day.
19 PBUs in 2 years.
That's a
great number. Join us for a full day of BYU football on Friday starting at noon Eastern time, 2-hour alumni day special, the re-air of the BYU Baylor game. After that, 5 Eastern BYU spring scrimmage. After that, the BYU alumni game. Let's hope for good weather. After that is men's volleyball versus USC at 9 Eastern as well, all on BYU TV Friday.
Chance of a dusting of snow in the morning, but 44 degrees and partly cloudy at 5 Eastern.
We'll take it.
Come on, sunshine.
Let's take it.
Please.
Nice.
Warm weather. Coming up, rise and shout out to straight domination by an elite club on campus.
This is BYU Sports Team. Not like baseball.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's go, Blake Freeland. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Should we give it to BYU Rugby?
Yes. We shall.
Yes, we should.
Because BYU beat Utah 67-22. Oh, we got highlights! My guy Connor Olvera had 4 tries. Lyle Matthews had 3 tries and 6 conversions, 27 points. Absolute domination by the boys.
Nicely done. All right, it's a
more highlights. Utah.
Our thanks to today's guest offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, and let's give an additional shout-out to Jacob Hanneman. We'll see you back here tomorrow in Studio B. Go Cougs. And let's go, Jaron! 4th round, come on!
Let's go, Jaron!